Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news. Hey there, welcome to part two of the Kims of New Jersey recap. If you haven't heard part one, go back and check that out. It's amazing. It's everything pretty much before the Posh Fashion Show. And then this episode, we dive right into the Posh Fashion Show from season two and then season three, and I believe season eight. So be sure to check that out. And if you also are really obsessed with this show and this recap, go over to my merch store on my website, bravohappyhour.com, and you can get yourself a Busted Up Sex in the City t-shirt, which I will be wearing on all of my Zoom conference calls for the next foreseeable future. So be sure to buy that. Tune into part one if you haven't heard it, and enjoy part two. Thanks for listening. Bye.
And then that leads us to the first Posh Fashion Show. Dun, dun, dun. Every year, I don't know if it was a thing before it was on television, but the Posh Fashion Show is Kim D's New York Fashion Week on crack. Like, it is like the biggest, hottest fashion event of the year.
If you're not at the Posh Fashion Show, what are you doing?
Where were you going? Last year you could have bought tickets to go, and I was really thinking of going, and then I had to like take a step back and be like, you need to reprioritize your budget, Megan.
I would buy tickets if I knew it was going to be filmed, but I'm not going to buy tickets. I'm not going to buy tickets if like it's just going to be the Posh Fashion Show. It's like going to your high school after you've already graduated.
Yeah, like, but so much worse in a way. So they go to the Posh Fashion Show. At this point, there are a few different tables where people are sitting. There's Teresa, Jacqueline, and I believe Kim D. They're all sitting together at one little table. And then there's Danielle and Kim Granatelle and like a couple other Klingons. And so
this is Danielle's table, right?
Oh yeah.
So one of my favorite moments ever is when she sits down and she's like,
oh, I love
it. Send you on your phone. Really pisses people off. Paris Hilton taught me that. What?
Like, honey.
Personally, or like on The Simple Life? Like, I don't, like, what?
What?
Like, you don't talk to Paris Hilton, Danielle. What's going on? What's going on? We're in New Jersey. This is a building that has like ground lit in front of it, and it has like medieval stone with like
four different types of fucking columns.
Like gold doors. Like, that's a Jersey dream. That's a rest of the 49 United States nightmare. Like, your Paris Hilton didn't teach you that, Danielle.
Nobody did.
I digress.
So Kim D ends up going over to Danielle to try to like make good. And she basically tells her, like, honey, you need to fucking lighten up. Like, relax. Like, we're all just trying to have fun. You are starting problems. Danielle's also pissed that Ashley was asked to be a model and Christine wasn't, when Christine is a magazine cover model. Like, everyone forgot about that party. So she was very upset about that too. As Ashley is walking down the catwalk, she calls her a coke whore, which is really appropriate to do again to a 16 or 17 year old kid.
Imagine being around that. Like, that's probably like the Pinewood Derby, like a Boy Scout event. You know what I mean? That's probably literally like just a like a church, like a band, like I'm not expressing it correctly, but it's like, this is the posh fashion show. Like, this is not like New York Fashion Week, as you said. Why are you calling a child a co-core?
Yeah.
Like, you're fucking weird, bro. That's weird.
You're weird. And also, like, even if you look back at season one, Danielle was like very desperate to be motherly towards Ashley. Like that one scene where Danielle was like yelling at her upstairs because like she was like running late to the party, or she was like, oh, I want to have 10 of my friends come to Chris's, like her little brother's birthday party, and Jacqueline was like, no, like cap it at 3 friends. And then she was like really upset and wasn't leaving her room, and Danielle's like, I'll handle it, and like goes upstairs and like tries to mitigate the situation. And it's like, Danielle, sit the fuck down. Like, what are you doing? Like, you can barely handle your own kids.
My mother, when I tell you that my mother, Italian woman from New Jersey, my mother, if somebody, my mom, she'll definitely listen to this and text me, but like, I was always to blame. Any situation, there was an explosion, it was Jared. Something on fire, it was Jared. A teacher was yelling at me, I was in trouble. She agreed with them. He's an asshole, whatever. The second somebody tried to like swoop in and like do something like that, like the animal, like an animalistic like monster would come out of my mother. Like, I'm telling you, like, and it gives me like a weird feeling even to this moment to think of like someone coming into my space and being like, I'll handle it. My mom would be like, the fuck you will? How about I'll handle you? Yeah. My mom would be like, I'll handle you first. And then you can handle your ass out of my house, because what you won't do is go anywhere near my son's bedroom. But it is weird because it is very much like the antithesis of how she is in season one towards Ashley, where she's trying to be like Skipper, the big sister, versus Gokor, like.
Yeah, Gokor.
And then honestly, okay, we'll get there, but I got justification.
So the fashion show ends and Jackie and Teresa are just like sitting in the lobby. What do you think those two are doing?
They're like waiting in the lobby, or are they perched, very much prepared and waiting for a fight? This is before, like, you get this because you're like as addicted as I am. This is before like we had housewives producing themselves. Mm-hmm. So when they were producing themselves, we saw them producing themselves. This is before you have a whole Lisa Vanderpump. It's before it's as deep as it is now. You know what I mean? And it's like, so you're watching this and you're like, maybe they are just sitting there. And like, then as you watch it, you're like, no, they're waiting for her. They're fucking waiting, like schoolyard bullies. They're waiting for her to come out. But it's also like, Danielle, why'd you go to that fashion show? You call my daughter a co-core. At that moment, it's like, I'd wait for your bitch ass too. Like, you're lucky the cameras aren't here, because worse shit would happen.
And like, Jacqueline didn't even know she said that. Like, I can't even imagine how she felt when she was like watching it back. Like, oh my God, like you were my friend. And now like, 6 months later, you're saying all of this horrible
about stuff my about daughter. My kid. So they're sitting there, right? And who starts it? Who's, I think it's Teresa, right?
Teresa's yeah, like,
of all of Bravo.
Hello. You're not gonna say hi. You're not gonna say hi.
Oh my God.
And she's like, hi, Teresa. And she's like, how are you, honey? And she goes, don't call me honey.
And then we get it. The most iconic line in Housewives history immediately. I don't want to call you honey, old, because you're an old hag bitch. So let's break that down. I don't want to call you honey because you're an old hag bitch. Why did that roll off your tongue? How was that just right there?
It's that's like you said earlier, point. Like if you really like write out the things that she says, like, and read sense. It back and you're like, makes no sense. Bitch.
But that to me, like, I remember watching that. Like, I had a friend of mine who, him and I were just as obsessed with the show. And we would quote that one scene all the time. So like, that's like Housewives, like if it were like in a stage show or a movie, that's like when all the lights focus in on this one.
Yeah.
Moment. I don't want to call you honey because you're an old hag bitch. Is that better? Bitch, better.
That's a fucking enough.
Yes, yes, yes.
We should actually do like a live reading of it. Like, I would love to get like a full transcript, and we could get like, we can get two, one other person, and then they'll play.
We could do it like a Zoom call, like a meet.
That
like
would actually be so much fun. If you guys are listening and would be interested in doing that, we could do like a Bravo happy hour, like,
yeah,
Zoom
like
call.
Masterpiece Theater. I'm obsessed with that. I love that.
when we can do like a couple different like iconic scenes, we could do
from
like
different.
This,
yes.
From
different. Okay. I'm in.
We're going to be planning this on the side, you guys. Wait for the announcement.
Megan's gonna plan it. I will definitely be involved in the talking about it and playing Teresa. We're in it. I'm ready. We're prepared. I love that. But yes. So it's like, that's a fucking enough. What's after that?
So then Teresa stands up.
Oh, yeah.
And then she goes, don't you ever fucking attack me. And then
I'm
Teresa
not attacking
goes,
you. I'm
don't
over
forget.
Here.
I'm over
here. I'm over here. I'm not attacking you. I'm over here, baby. And she's like, don't forget. Don't forget. She's like, I'm from Patterson. She's like, what is that ghetto thing you're doing, Teresa? And she's like, I'm from Patterson, baby. Did you forget? She's like, did you forget? I'm from Patterson. I'm from Patterson. And I saw the house you lived in before you moved into the mansion, Teresa. And she's like, so what? So what? I live in a $5 million
home
now.
Bitch.
And it's in foreclosure. That's to me like, no, it's Jacqueline. No, it's not. No, it's not. Teresa's like, my house is not in foreclosure.
It's like she turns into a rabid dog. Yeah. The rabies just start dripping out of her mouth.
And chases her.
Throughout the entire banquet hall. And like Teresa's in 5-inch heels.
What an advertisement for that country club, though. Like, they're like, yo, y'all, like, you could do full-ass laps in this fucking country club. Like, we're trying to show you. And I'm sure now, if I know Jersey, as I've lived here for 31 years, I'm sure now that in that country club, as I have on my wall, very similar to something like this, no one can see it, but like there is a plaque in that country club with a picture of that scene from Bravo's Real I promise you. And been
definitely.
Like, of the fashion show. I promise you. I promise you.
Yeah, host of the 2010 Posh Fashion Show.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Okay, so then, well, you also have that so one then, woman on the side that's like, huh, fucking unbelievable or unreal.
Yeah, wait, I'm like, I can't believe I don't have like the exact transcript up. Like, this is actually hurting me that I don't
I
have every
quote.
I
can give you a lot of it.
I know, I'm actually like quite impressed.
Yeah, so then that blonde woman is like,
yeah.
Because you have the full, because Teresa's wearing like a lamb or like
like a chinchilla.
Yeah,
fur,
like a chinchilla. It's really,
like, shrug.
I don't want you to hurt animals, but it's gorgeous. It's a really gorgeous coat. And she's geeking through, and she's reaching for her. Like,
she's
close enough, she's reaching. Like, Teresa's going to beat the shit out of this girl.
And screaming at her that she's a coke whore. So,
oh my God.
Is everybody
Jacqueline,
doing coke?
Jacqueline running behind her. Jacqueline's like, Danielle, I saw your police report. You beat somebody with a 9mm pistol, Danielle. I saw the report. I saw your police report. I was like, it's never gotten to that wall of christening.
Okay.
But, like, christening is worse than that. But, yeah, so it's like, and then that happens. They get outside. Kim Granatelle.
Oh, yeah.
Calm down. Calm down. Danielle, get me out of here.
She's hiding behind a pillar.
Get me out of here. And then she's like, Granatelle's like, Ashley, leave her alone. And then, like, literally Ashley swoops in like a Point Pleasant Beach that's, like, pulling it up. And she's literally, like, goes in and she's like, gagunk. Rips a whole track out of her head, which, like, I love my girl Ashley. I'm sure it fucking hurt. I don't know if it needed to go. I don't know if we needed litigation.
Yeah, I don't know if litigation was
fucking hurt. I'm sure it fucking hurt. She then yells, another one of my favorite, like, lines of all time is, love and light. Stay in the positive.
Stay in the positive, bitch.
I love that. I told you that, like, when I first met her, that was, like, one of the first things I said to her.
Oh, yeah, you were like, Ashley.
Yeah, I was like, I think, and she, like, looked at me, and I was like, love and light, stay in the positive, bitch.
She was like, that's me, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, and we've been fast friends ever since, but regardless, that's iconic. Like, ripping her hair out, what cuts the episode off?
So, it cuts at, she's a co-core, and she's on the runway, so it starts up with episode 10, of them sitting in the lobby.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good, Housewives, right there. When you're going to give me a whole fucking hour of one fight, if it's that good,
Well, that's how you know, like, a show is really good, when you can kind of really boil it down to, like, 2 months worth of drama. And, like, especially in this case, where you could stretch basically 2 episodes out on the Posh Fashion Show, and then the subsequent episodes after are basically all talking about what happened at the Posh Fashion Show. Yeah. Like, it was an explosion that everybody heard in Jersey. So at this point, they are now sitting in the back seat of Kim's Bentley. Danielle is crying and calls the cops. Teresa goes to the car, obviously, is like, let me talk to her. So does Jacqueline. They're like, let me talk to her. Kim has a bodyguard / driver who is, you know, trying to be like, ladies, just like, please, you can't go near the car. Like,
well, he says to Teresa, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And she's like, I'm not afraid of you. Like,
yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'll push a grown man I have. And I
will. And at that point, Teresa's like, I got plenty of fucking money too. I could have a bodyguard here, but I don't. So let's go over there.
Oh my God. And at this point, like, Ashley is like going around like bragging about it. She's like, yeah, I pulled her fucking hair out.
Oh, I know. And
like, oh God, so honey. Very, like, honey.
Yeah, like, yeah.
She thought that Danielle touched Jacqueline and like put her hands on her, and that's why she got into like her, you know, beast mode. But
still, I can imagine that filming a situation like that is probably super fucking confusing as to what's going on. Because, like, you know, we're watching it in like it's going chronologically. We're seeing what's happening, but I imagine like you probably just hear yelling at some point and just see people running, probably petrifying. You know what I mean?
I mean, especially with these crazies, like, you know what they're capable of. The cops end up talking with Teresa. She's like, why am I going to give you my name? She's a fucking coke whore. She's like, I'm not giving you my information because she's a coke whore. And they're supposedly, the cops told Danielle and Jacqueline that they're used to getting calls from Danielle. So they're used to this kind of behavior, which is really alarming and awkward. Like, what's happening in the house?
Yeah. And it's like, what if something actually happens to you?
Yeah, like, it's like a cry wolf situation.
She just very much to me seems like a woman that is comfortable in chaos. And she's just comfortable and like, she doesn't really understand healthy relationships, not with herself, her children, not anyone. It's all chaos.
Well, I think like she thrives in that because it's like what she grew up in. And then eventually like when in her late teens and early 20s, like with this chaotic drug dealer guy who got her into all this chaos. And then 18 men later, like, you know, however you got to that 19 engagements, I haven't been engaged once.
Me and I, either, to be completely honest. And I've had some long-term, I've been with my boyfriend now for years, but he already told me that I have to ask him. I'm sure I've had some other suitors that would have liked to have asked. You know what
but
I mean?
But like, if you're if constantly breaking engagements, like that's chaotic energy. I don't know how it started and how they ended, but...
But I mean, like, if there's a diamond for each of those engagements, like, what do you think? 10 grand each, you think?
No, I don't think she was pulling men with getting 10 grand diamonds.
You think?
I don't know, like, I feel like she was wearing a lot of cubic zirconia. Yeah, definitely, like, a stone. And she was like, oh my God, I love it.
She's got like an amethyst.
It's He's like baby, Liberty when we get Science. To our fifth anniversary, I'll get you a diamond.
Yeah, it's like literally from like the Liberty Science. It's like the Museum of Natural History. Like, it's like, you can adjust the size.
Yeah, it's a mood ring. Because she has so many. He's like, it could be any stone you want.
Fucking different colors.
Oh my God. So,
okay, so we're done with, we leave the Posh Fashion
Show. Fast forward, Danielle decides that she wants to press charges on Ashley for ridiculous. Going to this event and pulling her hair. Then, fast forward a little bit more, Danielle is at the courthouse with Kim G, walking around like a busted up Sex in the City, which like is one of my favorites. I think I'm actually going to make t-shirts that say that, busted up Sex in the City. I feel like I would definitely.
That's my brand, is busted up Sex in the City. That's my aesthetic. That's what I'm trying to be, is a busted up Sex in the City.
So, obviously, Jacqueline is like, Kim, you're a two-faced bitch. You sit up here telling me you're so upset and embarrassed that you're Danielle's friend, yet you're going to the courthouse with her to defend her against a lawsuit towards my daughter.
My daughter? What? Yeah.
And then Jacqueline was, and then Kim G was like, well, I'll go to the court with you and Ashley next time. It's like, oh, honey, no. Let's.
The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. It's weird. It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, so, I definitely feel like that whole thing was like, fuck, I buttered the wrong side of the bread. She has no empathy, Kim G. She doesn't know what's happening. So she's literally like, she wants to be famous.
Yeah, and it's like, she doesn't care that like, a young girl is like getting something on like her criminal record that was like kind of frivolous and stupid.
Could have been settled out of court. Could have been settled out of court.
Yeah, definitely.
Not on TV. Not on TV.
Also, like, you know, fast forward 9 years and Danielle's ripping out Margaret's ponytail at a store. And so is like, it wasn't even a freaking problem. It was an accident. I didn't even think
I don't think
hard.
That Ashley would mind me saying this, but I will, for until the day I die, one of my favorite moments of my life is the day that that happened, like the day that they released the preview for Danielle ripping ripping Margaret's hair out, Ashley posted on Facebook and was like, I just need to call attention to the complete fucking irony that it is that I this far, like, she's like, this many years later, she's like, just to see Danielle Staub, I think she might even call her Beverly, but she's like, to see Danielle Staub ripping the hair out. And it is one of those things where I'm like, why'd you do that? That looks really bad. That looks really bad.
Look good for
and she
year.
Yanked Margaret. She yanked.
Well, you see like a neck pull. Like,
she yanked the fuck out of Margaret. I would have been pissed. I would have fought her. If that happened to me, like, if somebody pulled my hair like that today, like, just this much hair. If somebody pulled my hair like that today, I would probably end up fighting them. And then, like, I think it was either Jennifer or maybe Jackie Blue. I think it was, like, but it was one of them tweeted, or one of them, Melissa, I think, was like, you guys, like, actually don't know, like, really how scary that day, like, really was.
I mean, I bet. Like, how do you put your hands on someone in the middle of a shooting day and then, like, go back to normal? And Margaret is, like, beloved by the other ladies. Danielle is there because they're like, okay, she's a crazy wild card who might bring numbers to the show. That's it. Like, she gets people to watch. Even though every time I post something on her on my Instagram, I get, like, the most hateful comments. It's, like, really scary. I'm like, uh-oh, I shouldn't post anything about her because
people hate her.
Because the hate is real.
Yeah, I felt bad for her until she came back. I think, like, turning on Teresa was stupid. I would have never done that. That was stupid, stupid, stupid. It was stupid. But continue.
So then we get a lunch where Kim G confronts Danielle. And this is one of my favorite lunches. So they're at the lunch. Kim G is basically calling her a fucking snake, telling her how ridiculous she was to be doing this lawsuit, brings up the other stuff from the charity event. And then Danielle is obviously getting really upset. And at the beginning of this conversation, Danielle starts talking about, you know, her childhood trauma, about her adoption and being sexually assaulted. So, like, she probably knew.
I'm not mistaken, I'm going to kill you off, but doesn't. Oh, you're about to say she. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
I was thinking she probably knew she was going to get shit on by Kim G. So she was like, you know, let me sit and tell her, like, my little sob story now, and then we can kind of, maybe that'll soften her up.
I feel like I almost remember Danielle going in not really realizing it was happening at all. Because I remember Danielle, you almost feeling bad for Danielle in the beginning.
Where you're like, oh, fuck. Like, she doesn't know she's about to get
her. How does Kim start it? How does Kim start it? Do you remember?
I don't even remember. I'm trying to see. I see Kim barges into Jacqueline's house in a black juicy sweat jacket with a spur vest. That's when she was like saying the F word in front of Jacqueline's baby. And she's like, sorry for saying fuck in front of your baby. It's like,
damage is done. So thank
you already did it, but I guess you accept the apology. But I think you're right. I think actually, yeah. So Danielle and Kim had the conversation about the adoption trauma shit. Cause Danielle was like also like trying to find her biological parents. So that was another conversation. Then I guess Kim and Jacqueline hang out and Kiki about.
And then Jacqueline, then she attacks Danielle. Yes. Yeah. Cause this is
where Kim ends up basically, you know, just telling her she's a piece of shit. And Danielle like gets up to leave and Kim just runs after her in this restaurant screaming. Like at the top of her lungs.
Insane.
In a packed restaurant. And a lot of these.
In front. And then in the parking in front.
Oh, in the front parking lot. And this is where she calls Danielle.
Fuck you. You don't have friends. I have friends. You don't have friends. I have friends. Fuck you with your fake and square tits. What?
What?
So then if you do a little digging, Danielle said this on Watch What Happens Live a few years ago, that it's actually Ashley that came up with the square tit thing.
Yeah. Well, I think square tit was brought up at like a party, like earlier at the Manzo's house. Cause when I was looking at my notes earlier, I was like, two mentions of square tits? This is weird.
she had like an issue with her implant. She had like a problem.
Yeah. Well, that was like a whole storyline for her. She was like getting her square tits redone, but she had like seeping silicone or whatever was in her body, like seeping into her blood. I don't know, like Yolanda Foster vibes, like,
yeah, that's
something bad. So like, it's horrible to like make fun of that when she's like also like clearly not able to.
But the scream is, Danielle actually says that Kim tried to make it stick multiple times. That's just the one that like stuck.
Make it stick.
She said it to me multiple times. She's like, you have square tits, square tit, bitch, square tits. You're fucking faking square tits, square titty.
Oh my god, like, I love it.
Like, yeah, and then she got her. So it's like when you really break it down, it's kind of like, oh, you're just waiting to attack me over my square titties. But it really is a woman. It's the final scene of her Grey Gardens, is that scene.
Yeah.
It's really a woman. It's like her Carol, if you've seen Carol with Kate Blanchett, or her. It's like just, it's this moment of whoever plays it in the film, that'll be the part where they win the Oscar. You know what I mean?
Who's going to play Kim Granatell in the movie version? Maybe
definitely Reese Witherspoon in like 24
years. Perfect casting.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think who would play Danielle.
Danielle Staub. I'll cast them all. Let's do it right now.
Yeah,
Okay, so let's say we're going to just not think about age and we're going to cast people that are alive right now and they're going to do... Okay, so we're going to start with... So we'll start with Kim D, I would say, or Kim Granatell. Granatell, I would say Reese Witherspoon.
A young
Reese. I think
Reese,
he would really get it. You know what I mean? Or if we had to cast somebody older, Goldie Hawn. But...
Yeah. I don't know if she's as, like, regal. Or even, what's it, Jessica Lange.
Oh.
Like, I feel like they have, like, a similar bone structure in that blonde hair. Like, she could really...
Yeah, Jessica Lange.
Spot on.
Michelle Pfeiffer will play
Michelle
Pfeiffer.
Oh.
D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer's Kim D. I love...
Teresa...
So...
That's hard.
It's hard because if it's like a movie, then we're going to do it as if it's like not a, it's not going to be a parody. It's going to be a film movie about the filming of Real Housewives of New Jersey. We're going to go through this. So it's like, it's one of those things where like, you can't cast somebody that would be like funny, but I don't know. Who do you think would play Teresa?
Teresa? It's like hard because I'm like, who is so tan? Like, who would, like, look like her or be able to do... I'm trying to think if there are, like, any Jersey actresses. Let's see. Like, who's, like, an Italian...
Well, because Gaga would be, like...
I was just thinking Gaga. I was just, like, I feel like Gaga could really do the table flip with the big curls and, like, the tube dress and the baby bump.
I think Gaga would probably... But I think Gaga would probably be a better Danielle.
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like she has, like, the range of her voice where she really could...
I would want to see, like, Sarah Paulson as, honestly, Jacqueline. I know it sounds crazy.
That does sound crazy. I was thinking more of, like, a Leah Michelle for her. For even though she's canceled.
Yeah, she'll never work again.
She'll never work again. Not even in our Real Housewives of New Jersey reboot.
No, we can't cast her. We'll get blacklisted. But I would definitely... Yeah, I see like Sarah Paulson as Jacqueline. I'm not even kidding. I think she could like really, or Jennifer Aiden playing Jacqueline.
Jennifer Aiden. Oh,
or current New Jersey housewife, Jennifer Aiden playing former New Jersey housewife, Jacqueline.
I think that's Oscar winning. Yeah, Oscar like winning performance.
Moment. Or like her, like it'll be that moment where you're like,
well, she was like this last season, she was like, I'm kind of funny, I like make my friends laugh, I'm the comedian, like I can do impressions. It's It's like, you're just making fun of someone. It's not an impression. But, yeah, okay.
She's a lot. I think I've told you I've worked with her before. I think she's super genuine and super sweet and definitely a much stricter and stronger mother in real life than I think she's portrayed as on TV. But I would say this probably to her face if we were friends, which we're not, but like if I knew her personally, besides just having worked with her, I would say to her, like, I think that your desperation to be Teresa's best friend is a lot. I think it's a lot.
Yeah. Just
but unimportant. I think, like I said, it's a woman. I can't cast Caroline, by the way. I can't think of anybody.
Caroline, I mean.
Because I would honestly, if we're going to just pull anybody, I would cast Luann as.
I like how we're only, I'm like, I can only cast within the Bravo sphere.
Sorry. I would cast Luann as Danielle Staub. Imagine it
right now. That I could actually see.
Oh my God. Everything. Luann as Danielle Staub. Because then you'll have like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Because Teresa's too hard. It's like too hard to really do that.
Teresa's going to have to play herself in the movie.
Or Gia.
Or Gia. Jinx. We both had the exact same.
Gia will play her mother in the Real Housewives of New Jersey film.
Well, wow. I mean, she almost was in that Rock movie, you know, where she was like, oh my God, like skipping school for auditions. I'm like, Teresa, do not do that. Like, you need that girl to get clear.
I would not put any eggs into this basket. You saw she got a nose job? You saw her nose?
Oh, yeah. She looks cute. I mean, it's like that quintessential nose job nose. Like, you could tell from a mile away. And, like, I don't know.
Oh, it's not. This is not it. If you mean. But, like, yeah, definitely you could tell from a mile away it's a nose job. I dated a guy who got his nose done. And it wasn't until that I was able to be like, oh my God, that's what a fake nose looks like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I was like, oh my God, because I had never really talked to somebody about their nose job before. And like,
well, yeah, I'm a kid of Long Island. So yeah, it was like a rite of passage for every girl on their 16th birthday. Like they'd all come back to school like after like, you know, 10th or 11th grade, and they'd come in and I'd be like, something's different, weird. And they're like, I learned how to do my makeup differently. It was so crazy. The summer was so amazing. And I'm like, and your voice has changed too. Whoa.
Are you eating the makeup? Yeah. How's that working out for you? How come you have a whole upper register that you didn't have before? Where's that? I love that just like little Megan, like in high school, like something's different. And the girl's like, oh, I just went to do my makeup. And you're like, it's not that. What is it?
Wow. Yeah, must be nice like, to have a cute 20 grand like for your face. Like imagine like your parents being like, here's money to look better. I'd be like, what? Like I could barely have like gotten them to take me to like Lord and Taylor once a year. Like that was like all I got.
My parents gave me the option of braces. They gave my gay ass a freshman year in high school. They're like, I mean, do you want to get them or not? Like I put fucking braces on every child, even if they're straight, put braces on them. That's just it. They're getting it. You're getting braces. You know what I mean? Like you're getting them. I didn't have them and now my teeth are crooked, but I'm like, I just feel like kids have my parents had no concept of that. If I had asked my dad for a nose job, he probably would have cried about it. Like my dad,
I could punch you in the nose. Like my dad's a therapist.
He's like an actual therapist. And when I got my nose pierced, like 11 or 12 years ago, my father was like, I think it looks nice. And I was like, thank you. He's like, your nose is not exactly the part of your body that I would bring a lot of attention to, but if you want to get pierced, okay. And I was like, can I trade you accepting me being gay for this? Can we switch this out? I'm like, and you just think I'm gorgeous and just need to be straight. I would rather have that.
I need the looks comments. I need more of those.
Swear to God. And he looked at it, and to this day, he'll be like, I just wouldn't have pierced that kind of a nose. My brother got his nose pierced like a few years after. And like, my brother has a much daintier and prettier nose than I do. It's
very Your dad weird. Was like, God, I love that piercing on you.
Exactly. But Gia got a nose job. Gia will play Teresa.
And then, and Caroline, I mean, maybe like a young Jennifer Lawrence. I feel like she would have to go like method, like get the wig.
A lot of weight. She'd probably have to gain 40 or 50 pounds.
Gains a ton of weight. Blubber, blubber, blubber.
Blubber, but you have to look that up.
Man. Yeah, I know. I can't believe I haven't done like a good, I mean, it's so hard because all I do is watch Bravo. So it's hard to figure out
time
to
watch. A reunion for me is, I don't, if I'm ranking them like at reunions, like if I'm ranking, I'm like, Teresa's higher than Nene for me, like at a reunion.
Yeah. Cause Teresa like loses her cool.
And she just, for 8 hours of that unadulterated, it's like Teresa, Bethany, Nene, they are like all at reunions. They're like, mention it all. But like, okay. So then Caroline, and then we have a cast. Dina would be Lady Gaga.
Dina would also be Lady Gaga. Might play a couple different roles. She might have to.
Like, it has to be like a beep, boop, beep.
Yeah, very.
So Fake and Square Tits, though, really is that moment. It's her no wire hangers, like, ever. It's her, like Forrest Gump, like, running moment. It's like her, that is Kim Granatell. She's like, I have to stay on this show.
I'm going to do it.
I have friends.
Whatever.
You don't have friends. I have friends. You don't have friends. Fuck you. And you're faking square tits. And it's that place where like a woman goes where like she's not crying, but her voice is doing all the same things it would be doing if she was crying. It's not intentional.
She has no sadness. Yeah, like she's trying to squeak out a tear, but she like doesn't care at all. And she's like, you're actually ruining my chance of being friends with the cool girls. So fuck you. Get away from me with your.
Well, because now the moment of desperation is not only am I not going to be on the Real Housewives of New Jersey, but now everyone's going to know I'm the bitch from Wayne, New Jersey that did not get on the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because she gets kicked out of a party, I think, a few years. Yes. A few seasons
Look
later.
Look at you doing a beautiful transition into season three. That was my next topic. One, I did have to say, during the reunion of season two, it is addressed that Kim G and Kim D are related. Like, or are family. So Kim D's stepbrother was Kim G's ex-husband.
So they're former...
Sisters-in-laws, yeah. Like, what? That is so random.
I mean, that's Jersey, though. That's Jersey Housewives. Not New Jersey, but that's Jersey Housewives. It's like Jersey Housewives, is like they like love that familial. I feel like Kim G made it to a reunion once, but it didn't get air.
She got on season two's reunion, but it was like a 3-second thing where they basically were like, that was a crazy season and your relationship with Danielle is over. And she's like, yeah, I don't like the girl. They're like, all right. See ya. We'll be back after these messages.
Yeah, thanks. Goodbye.
So season three starts, and this is at this point, like, where we get Melissa and Kathy. So once they're in and Danielle is out, the Kims don't really have a place, and
the show completely changes.
Completely 180
about Teresa at that point. Completely about Teresa.
So if we fast forward to episodes 8 and 9 of season 3, there is the Gorga Christmas party. And so Kim G is invited to this party. Who the hell knows who invited her, but probably Melissa, because she's messy, 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 especially her first season. So Kim D was also there.
You're never on the Melissa train. You are never on it. You have never been a passenger. You've never ridden. You're like, no, no, no.
No.
I was not on it at the beginning. I jumped on the caboose. I was not on the beginning of the Melissa train.
I
jumped on the last few seasons. I like, I like the way she challenges Teresa now, because I appreciate it in a way that's like, it seems more friendly than it ever did before. It seems like a place of like, we can be cool. But publicly, they're always like, we're not friends. We're sister-in-laws.
Which, like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be friends with your sister-in-law. No. However, like, Teresa is going through so much.
Yeah.
Like, and of course, like, that doesn't mean Melissa's not going through things, too, that we just don't know about. But at a certain point, the pettiness needs to get put aside when, like, these four young girls, like, don't have a mother at the home and don't have a father, and their father's getting deported. So I do like that Melissa kind of stood up and was just like, I'll suck it up.
That's, like, her biggest critique is that people say she doesn't share enough on the show, Melissa. They say everything's, like, superficial, that, like, that whole baby – who said that baby thing was fake?
Jennifer. I mean, but even that, like, the baby thing was fake in the season before that. She was like, I might have a long lost sister. There was a girl crying at the back of my father's funeral. She must be my sister. Like, what? No, hon. Like, if your dad was banging other women on the side, like, you really think the illegitimate child would come to the funeral of a man who didn't raise her? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's fucking I don't really remember the season three. I know it happened, but I think.
So Kim G shows up at this party and she brings a woman named Monica Chacon. And so Monica Chacon's husband is representing Joe Giudice's former business partner and all the lawsuits against the Giudices. So they've been in a lawsuit for 3.5 years. So when all of these lawsuits and stuff were coming up, for the 3 years, like, Teresa and Joe were on the show the entire time that they were being sued by his business partner for shady business deals. So Kim G, the messy little monster, ends up bringing Monica to the party at the Gorgas house. Obviously,
Barry Ramona. Tom's girlfriend, Missy, to that so party. True. I'm telling you.
True.
Ramona is a better actress than Kim G, but they're cut from the same cloth.
I did see Kim G tweet today that she wants to be on Roni now that Dorinda's gone.
We can have, if you want to give me a few minutes at the end of this to discuss that, I've been.
We will absolutely do a lot of feelings.
Please let me know when we're there.
Spit it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So she comes to the party and basically Teresa is like, get them the fuck out of here. Joe and Melissa agree. They get out of here. But then the Manzos obviously get involved because Chris is like, that's my best friend's mother. I need to be involved in kicking her out. So then the Manzos are all getting involved. And like the Manzos are like come in a pack of five. And like potentially Greggy Bennett. Like they come deep. Like they are always, and what's their names? Vito. Like there are always people with that crew. So it was a pretty big crew being like, get out, get out, get out. She's screaming on the front lawn, not understanding why she's getting kicked out. She's just saying to Joe Gorga, like, isn't this your home? Don't you make the rules? He's like, yeah, but that's my fucking sister and my brother-in-law. Like, and you're shitting on them.
Get out.
Get out. Get out. Fucking so idiots.
Bad. I have to look that up. That's a good.
So whatever, that happens. And then we get like a bunch more different moments, but we'll fast forward to season 4, where then Kim D then tells Teresa that Melissa Gorga used to be a stripper at the Jersey Shore, which was a bombshell, because at this point we really only had like gotten this idea that like Melissa was this like great sweet woman who like just loves her family and like is a family girl. And don't get me wrong, you could be that and had been a stripper too, like the two, you could be both, but
like, that whole
comes out of left field.
That's another thing where like Kim D is just taking so much joy in releasing that information, and Teresa is just so like, I honestly, with that whole thing, I felt bad for Jacqueline, because I definitely felt like Jacqueline got played in that, where I felt like Teresa was like, I have to make it look like Jacqueline did it because her family cared. So much of that old shit with Teresa, where like if she just would own up to her shit the way she did this season with Margaret, like if she would just own up to her shit, she would go so much further. Because when she doesn't like people, I mean, she's good now, this is more back then. Because when she doesn't like people, I feel like she's always so one way or another way. When she meets them in the middle, sometimes I think she gets to this place where you're like, oh, she's not a moron and she's not really like a bad person. She's just hard-headed. You know what I mean? And it's like with that whole Kim thing, like I remember being disgusted, because that is the fight that night at the at that whatever party that
outdoor
was.
Outdoor white party.
Well, no, not outdoor white party. This, we're talking about this fight. So what that leads to, what the stripper thing leads to, is the fight that happens that ends that season. Because that's season four.
I can't remember. Which fight is that? Yeah, this is season four.
Teresa's wearing pink. It's like, the point is, it's the fight that happens in the street where Teresa's like, maybe you had something to do with it, to Jacqueline. And then the season ends and Jacqueline doesn't come to the reunion. Because shit was popping off so heavy in Jersey that they filmed 4 and 5 consecutively. They didn't stop. Very much like one of our podcasts.
Yeah.
4 and 5.
Never ending.
Never ending. No, I'm saying like they have... No,
I was like, you're right. This will never end if we both don't ever stop.
But they had this, these two seasons that had so much content, as they would call it now, that like they sliced it down the middle and they were like, we have a season 4 and a season 5. And that's what they did. So they were still filming season 5 when they were filming the reunion of
which gets too messy. Like, I feel like,
well, that's why if you watch season 4, they're at the fucking Count. You don't know Jersey like that, but they're at the fucking Count Basie in Red Bank, 20 minutes from here. And they're at the Count Basie, and there's many moments in it where Teresa or Caroline is like, well, we can't talk about that, can we? We can't talk about that, can we? Because it's like,
it's happening, and it'll be on the next season.
Stuff like that's so weird to me, because I'm always like, I don't know. Like, I've heard that they're Real Houses of New York. I've heard that they go out after the reunions together.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That, like, other ones do too. But Kyle said that she said, like, with the Beverly Hills, it's like if people aren't talking, they don't go out together. So it's like certain situations.
I mean, well, Kyle's the worst. And of course, she's like, why would I invite Garcelle to my house? She doesn't even freaking like me. It's like, yeah, well, everybody else was there, and that's me.
Kyle is hard for me because Kyle's difficult for me because I think that she's endearing. I don't think she's a bad person, but I don't think that she holds herself accountable to the way that she thinks she does. Mm-hmm. And like, it's funny because like, have you seen those things that are like the movie villain, the actual villain, like whatever, yeah. like memes. A lot of people, I just read a whole blog the other day about Kyle and Kim in season 1. And they were like, Kim really is the victim, kind of season 1 of Beverly Hills Housewives. And they're like, or Kim, or season 2, whatever. They're like, if you go back and watch a lot of the Kyle versus Kim moments, there's so many times where you're like, you actually feel much worse for Kim.
Well, yeah, I feel like Kyle was always just, like, exploiting Kim. Like, Kyle's never really had her own storyline. She's, like, never really gives anything. And, like, the first few
steps. We're just trying to get to the – we just want to know the truth. We just have a right to know who you sleep with. I would be like, there's no way your husband's fucking only you. So –
and, like, Kim knows where the bodies are buried. Like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, she might be a potential – she might be an unreliable source. However – she's still got something. She knows something.
Yeah, it's like, and then like literally like got into a fight with her family for doing that show that lasted a season. Oh, Marona Mia. That to me is so crazy because it's like, it seemed like it had star power behind it to have like Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, no, but the show itself was so bad. I'm actually thinking of doing
a
recap of it because it was so horrible that it's like perfect podcast fodder. Yeah.
Is it like funny?
No. Not funny, not well made, not well written. Not dramatic. I only watched the first 3 episodes because it was so bad. And like, you know, like a normal network show is like a 22-minute show. It was like 16-minute pilot. Like it couldn't even like get to a certain point time-wise where they were like, you know what, we're just going to fill this up with ads. This actually is one big advertisement with like a little bit of show.
That's wild.
It's not good. Okay, but to end this episode, we then get another amazing Kim moment, fast forwarding 4 seasons to season 8, episode 9, which is another posh fashion show. We're back to where we belong, people.
Yeah.
So at this posh fashion show, Kim basically doubles down on accusing Teresa of her infidelity while Joe was in prison. And then Siggy and Dolores are also there. They're walking in the show. I believe Teresa and Melissa were supposed to walk in the show, but after Kim started going, were they walking in the show? I feel like
they're supposed to. They're supposed to, and they were supposed to.
They pull out after Kim starts like accosting them at the event, and then that obviously ends up creating the beautiful moment where Teresa
piece of shit coke whore every day. Piece of shit coke whore.
Coke whore.
Paula every day.
Coke whore homewrecker every
homewrecker, day. Homewrecker. Homewrecker. Coke whore home. Piece of shit coke whore homewrecker every day.
Every day. And I just want to know, like, who created this acronym? Because this, like, rolled off the tongue pretty easily for
her.
She
practiced it. She practiced it. She might have made it up. Piece of shit, I know, is Teresa's mouth. But, like, I would say coke whore every day. Like, I don't homewreck. Like, it's brilliant. And she looks phenomenal. When you're, like, Italian, you do two things a lot. You lust after Italian women, and you tell people that you're Italian. And I...
Trust me, I'm half Italian. I'm, like, yeah, I don't even lead with being Irish. It sucks that my name is so Irish that people are like, you're not Italian. And I'm like, I'm Italian. Don't call me an Irish person. Thank you.
I have, like, a little bit of other stuff in me, but I'm, like, 80% Italian, so I'm 100% Italian. I just think Teresa, like, I love the way she looks. I love her tanness. I love her big hair. I love the puppies. Jewelry. I love women that make noise before they even get over to you. Like, their jewelry's making so much noise. I live and die. And she just, in this one scene, she looks phenomenal. Like, if she really looks phenomenal. Yeah, if you pull it up.
Yeah, I have, like, the meme that I'm going to be posting on Instagram. Oh, yeah, she's wearing, like, a red dress with, like, the big flowing hair. You know what POSH stands for? Piece of shit, coke whore, homewrecker, every day. Like, I'm going to get that fucking tattooed on my body.
Same.
So that gives us a beautiful moment. And from there, we really don't get that much of them. Kim Granitel, as I know it, is just like living in New Jersey still making, I think, YouTube videos, making fun of Teresa and co and tweeting. She tweeted on February 26th, just tweeting to say hi to all and wishing a good week. No drama. Okay. And what I mentioned on an earlier episode of this show, I don't even remember. It's all fucking blur. There's 150 shows. Her Twitter bio is mother to John, Ryan, and Gia. Love of my life. Lover of travel. Fast cars. Diamonds. Life is on a dress rehearsal. Go for it. Season 2, 3, and season 9, parentheses, reunion question. I guess she was asked about in a reunion question on season 9, and she's throwing that in her credits.
Good for her.
Yes,
good for her.
And then we have Kim D, who is still working at Posh. I believe we got a new location based on a Google search. And it's open in COVID times, which is great. It's definitely no Envy boutique.
And I don't know. I have an Envy hoodie.
I want to get one, but I would also, like, be too tempted to wear it out. And then I don't want people to think, like, I would wear something that's like Envy. I'm like, I don't.
That's like the cool thing about wearing stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's like what makes it cool is that you people are like, oh my God, I can't believe she would wear that. I was like, I mean, you know who it is though. But it's actually really cute. A friend of mine, my friend Dawn, for my brother and I used to work in the same office after I stopped doing makeup for a little while to like get like an office job. And like when I was doing makeup, when I was at this office job, my brother left retail as well to come work with me. And we worked together at this office down the street from our apartment. He lives here with me and like down the street from our apartment. And our friend Dawn worked there and we loved her. And she was obsessed with Jersey Housewives. And we, like me, my brother and my boyfriend, like when we first moved into this apartment, it would be like a week, like a gathering moment. You know what I mean? So she, for Christmas, bought me and my brother, like, Envy by Melissa, like, clothing. We were obsessed.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Adds to cart.
Yeah.
Puts it on my business account. I'm like, excuse me, this was a business expense. If I didn't have it, I need to talk about the fabric on my show.
So thank you very much.
So then, yeah, Kim D, she tried to have a fake little reality show. Obviously, nobody watched that. But in March 2017... Kim got in some hot water because a car that was in her name and driven by her son ended up being lit on fire. And then in the trunk, there were two dead bodies.
Yeah.
Like this.
I remember this.
This is not a good look for you, Kim.
And no, it was bad.
Her
right?
son didn't like go to prison or anything, and they couldn't really prove if Kim or the son were involved, but the son was friends with the guys in the car, so I don't know. I'm not a detective, but I am that Claire Danes meme where it's like all of like the equations, and I'm just trying to wonder, like, am I missing something, or are the cops missing something? Like, did Kim give so much money at the sheriff's dinner that
I want to hang out.
She is like exempt from this. It sounds a little shady.
10 years ago,
yeah.
Did Kim give? It's like just at the sheriff's dinner in Caroline Manzo's backyard. Is this just like we're just gonna look the other way at the fact that there were dead bodies? It's crazy that shit
it's
like that.
Really weird.
That's so wild. Excuse me. I remember that. I remember it being like a thing.
It was weird and it kind of came and went. This was like before I was doing the podcast, so it was just like a thing I was like, I was reading about as like a normal consumer Bravo fan. But yeah, kind of weird. But yeah, she's like doing fine. And Kim Granatell doesn't have an Instagram, which I really think she could kind of become insta famous with some videos.
Or TikTok, something
TikTok.
So weird that she doesn't have one.
Just Twitter, but like she'll just tweet like stupid shit about Danielle.
She probably got Twitter when she was on the show and just like doesn't know how to get rid of it. She was messing around with Adam Barda a few months
ago. Oh, she still does. Where she keeps tagging him and shit. And that guy is a leech.
Yeah, it seems.
I see him everywhere. You're like, I know him.
No, I don't. Well, but I'll say this. I try to judge my experiences with people based off of my experiences with people. And him and I have had very nice experiences. He's always been very nice to me. He's helped me out with like music years ago. I asked him like how to like do a few things and he was nice to me. I do feel a little leechy. I do think like, not obviously with me, but I have seen obviously some moments where I'm like,
him and Tan Mom are like best friends.
Mama June though?
Yeah, like what? So before we go, we have to talk about Dorinda. Obviously, this is the biggest news of the century. What are your thoughts? Dorinda is gonzo. Do you think Bravo did it or do you think it was a mutual thing and they kind of let her leave gracefully, but she got fired?
Okay, so high point, low point. I do think that it was mutual. I don't think that it was one or the other. I think that they probably tried to Tamara her. Mm-hmm. And I think she's probably at a place in her life where she's like, you know what? This is a little negative. So I'm going to take a step back. Dorinda is one of the best additions they've ever put on Real Housewives of New York. My issue with Dorinda is accountability. Totally. You cannot be a housewife if you're not accountable. That's why Lisa Rinna is such a star, because she can behave so terribly, but she owns up to 85% of the shit that she does. So it's like, once you do that, you're fully realized. I think Dorinda is not accountable enough. I think there's a lot of times where she can't accept it. And what she should say, like in the situation with Luann, what she should say is, I get that you're upset about what I said. I feel like if we dig that deep, I'm going to start feeling really terrible about it. And I don't think it's worth it. I would rather if we could just peacefully move on. I'm sorry. You're sorry. Let's move on. But she can't do it. She's very much like this. I think Bravo was probably at a place with her where they're like, I think that Ramona is going to stay.
I think she'll probably stay too.
I think they're going to keep her. And I fucking hate her.
I like Ramona, but I think Dorinda probably, one, was just like incredibly negative this season towards everybody and couldn't, like own up to a single thing she ever did. And then I have a feeling that she sat at the reunion for 8 hours and just did that all day long and just kept throwing it back at people and throwing it back at people. And it's like, honey, you gotta take it sometime. And Luann, like, obviously everybody knows I'm so biased with my love for Luann, but she's taken it like year after year and like addresses it and like keeps it moving and can
people
say sorry.
Really
like
Luann. People are really mean to Luann.
They don't really mean. They really take advantage of her because she's like easy to bounce back from the
and
criticism.
She's super balanced. She's very balanced when it comes to like when she went
confident.
Off season in the Berkshires, like it was very, you're like, oh fuck Luann. You know what I mean? Because she's not like that. So it's like when she behaves that way, you're like, wait, what? I like Luann a lot too. I'm a big Luann fan. I think she was fired. I think she was fired. And I think probably, but I will say that I think she was fired or let go. I do think that it's a mistake. I think that it's big shoes to fill. I think they'll keep Ramona for one more season, for because if Ramona goes to next season, she's the longest running OG of any Housewives ever.
Give her that title. She deserves it.
Yeah, so I think she's going to get that and then leave. I think that the show's going to be centered around Leah and upper and like lower east side.
Downtown cool girls.
Nah.
And like then you'll still have like, you know, Sonia and Luann being kind of like the drunk aunts.
Well, I think which they should bring, I really think they should bring Jill Zarin back. And
oh no, that ship has sailed. She's so bleh.
I think they should bring Jill back, but I also think that Lady Gaga's mom should be a Real Housewives of New York.
That'd be good.
She's super close with a lot of them. She's very much in that society. They all know her.
Yeah. Because like, yeah, Dorinda and her went to church together.
Like, I wish in my heart that she had brought on, but
Roni will, it'll, I mean, Roni will bounce back, just like all of us after the pandemic.
But the pandemic, we will never be the same. Yeah, MJ, I know you're like, you're always team MJ. You're like team MJ all day. MJ.
I know, I have to be less biased. I'm trying.
It's okay. I almost switched during the reunion. I almost switched because I'm like,
it's hard. She was not the best. She was not practiced. She was like way too quarantine brain. But besides the point. Jared, thank you so much for coming on. This was so amazing. Where can people find you, follow you, listen to your music, all of the things? Okay. I'll tag you in all the things too.
So first things first is I have to thank you. I love working, doing these things with you. I'm always available. You're the best. I think you're the people, everyone in the world should listen to your podcast because it's
thanks.
You can find me on Instagram at @JaredMillion _. You can find me on Twitter at @JaredMillion. I'm on TikTok now, @JaredMillion. I'm like everything @JaredMillion. I guess I'll do this here, but I'm going to, I have a song that will be coming out like soon in a few months. I just, the music is done. I just have to lay down the vocals for it. It's really exciting. So that'll be great. You'll be able to see that on all of my social media. And that's really it. You can find me in New Jersey waiting for this pandemic to be over so I can go back to being fun.
I love it. And of course, we will be blasting the fuck out of your new song all over my social media. So everybody tune in, follow him, listen to all his things. And thank you again for coming on. We have to find another fun, random thing to talk about.
Anything you want. And next thing that starts, I'm very into Potomac this season. So
okay, good. Let me think of a weird Potomac thing to talk about and we'll kind of find a random thing.
Yeah, we're good on these. You're the best. Oh,
amazing. Love you so much.
Love
thank you,
you too.
I'll have a great night. I have to eat dinner. Bye. I'm so hungry and I have to pee.
Bye, babe. Thank you.
All right, bye. Have a good one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.